are going to begin a new series today around the title of wholeness, W-H-O-L-E-N-E-S-S, wholeness, wholeness. And if you would, join me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This series came simply just like that. I was, you know, just asking the Lord, what are we going to talk about next after we ended our series on last month? And he just gave me one word, wholeness, wholeness. And as I began to flesh it out, I can tell you just this introduction has been life-changing. And I pray the same for you all as well. I'm going to ask that for our time together, I'm going to attempt to give you as much information as we possibly can give in the time that we have allotted, and then I'm going to hit the pause button, continue a thought in the morning at 7 a.m. in the pastor's office, and then next week, this message will continue for part two. And this month, I have asked different people throughout the month, so whether it's a Wednesday night Bible study, whether it's a Sunday morning, to help me bring this message of wholeness home to you. And you'll see why here in just a moment. When you think about wholeness, I want you to think completeness. I want you to think about every aspect of your life. In church, historically, we've done a great job with nourishing our spirit. We've done a great job putting hope into the eternal. But we have not done a great job of translating what is within us spiritually to what we actually can experience in our everyday world. And so what that does, it creates a level of skepticism for those who hear the message of faith and the message of the gospel. What drew people, especially in the book of Acts, to want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, were there were signs and wonders following the words that they taught. In the Gospels, what drew people to Jesus is the fact that when he spoke, when he prayed, he had answers and he had actual signs and wonders following the word of God. You really don't have to convince someone about something that they're experiencing for themselves. And so what the Christian faith as a whole, especially in America, has went to is a host of arguments and spirited debates and not as much proof and signs and wonders following the believer. When I speak of signs and wonders, I actually want to update your perspective as to where you should look for signs and wonders first. You should look for them in your own life. You should look for them in your own prayers, in your own journals. Because people can tell if you're sharing something with them because it's the quote-unquote company line. I'm supposed to share my faith. I'm supposed to be evangelizing. And people can tell if what you're sharing means something personal to you. And so the purpose of this series is to bring the signs and wonders that you read in Scripture home in your everyday life. But when we're talking about the signs and wonders that we're bringing home, I'm not talking about something spectacular where you're looking for when you take a bath, you to float because you're now walking on top of it. I'm not talking about something of that nature. I'm talking about growth in your life that you know is real growth. Anybody ever have a moment where you've been in a situation where had you not developed and matured in your character, it could have went a completely different direction? I've had moments this week and in the last couple weeks where I said, had I not grown, that could have been a completely different experience for all who were a part of it. But Lord, thank you for growth. And I call that a miracle. I want you to hold on to this word. And I, since August, I have been very interested in breaking this word down so that it is practical and you can leave here and you can apply it and you can see results. If we are not producing results, you are under no obligation to listen to what we're saying because all we're doing is wasting your time. I am not interested in wasting anyone's time. Trust me, you guys have better things to do. But now if I know something that works and I've seen it work for myself, then everybody I know and love, I am going to be on you until you begin to see things take place in your life. And I am not going to let you off the hook until you see manifestation on things that you've been praying for. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I'm going to spend a lot of time chewing up every single word. We're going to eat. This is going to be some good, tough steak today. We're just going to chew on every word. Because I realized something. If I go to 3,600 scriptures today to show y'all that I know 3,600 scriptures and you remember zero, or I go to one or two scriptures and you remember both, what's more beneficial? Amen. So y'all get all these scriptures, don't know what was said. I ain't gonna lie. There are times I lay up next to Ash at night and I ask her, what I preach on in July? And I'm the preacher. I said, there's something wrong with it. I need to be able to remember my own sermons. And if I'm not remembering my sermons, what I preach on in May, y'all? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't hurt my feelings. Don't hurt my feelings right now, y'all. Don't hurt my feelings right now. Just like I said, the Lord, the Bible. 1 Thessalonians. Come on, people. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. We'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. Someone say and type in spirit, soul, body. May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. All of the facets that make you up as a unique individual, God cares about that they come in line to his ultimate plan for your life. Every facet. There is not one area of your life that you are concerned with that God is not concerned with. And he has a plan for every area that you tried to take on your own. And so instead of working harder, I want you all to begin working smarter because you're going to be working anyway. So let's define wholeness. The word whole is the Greek word holokleros. Holokleros. It means complete, entire, healthy, unhurt, fully recovered from a wound or injury. Let me say what wholeness is again. Let me tell you what God's desire for your life is. He wants you to be complete. He wants you to be entire. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be unhurt. And he wants you to be fully recovered from a wound or injury. Spirit, soul, body. So in my spirit, in my soul, he wants me to be complete, entire, healthy, unhurt, fully recovered from a wound or injury. In my body, the word body is also meaning your senses or in your natural way of living. So that means that my faith shouldn't be set on in the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven. What a great day it will be. What God is saying is that I want you right now, even in your body, to be complete, your body to be entire, your body to be healthy, your body or your natural way of living to be unhurt. But here's the biggest part of wholeness, which is beyond healing, is that I want you to be fully recovered from a wound or injury. See, in our life somewhere, we believe that we should live with the trauma of our past. We make excuses for dysfunction that have been created off of self-preserving behaviors. But when you're healed, holy, and free from injury and wounds, you hear different. You live different. You believe different. You act different. You love differently. A damaged soul is a judgmental soul. So your level of judgment that you have for someone else is a revelation of the damage you have in your own soul. So this is why we are encouraged as Christians to lay down judgment of individuals, because all we're revealing is the own dysfunction within us. Because when we have an accurate estimation of the actual rubric of judgment, we all realize we are all in need of a Savior and are all, no matter where we are, in need of the Lord to help us, which speaks to this conversation on wholeness is about, I want you to find where you are in your spiritual life. I want you to find where you are in your mental, emotional life. I want you to find where you are in your physical body or in other areas such as your finances, your job, your career. And see, is my life a pure reflection of the Word? And if not, where can I grow? Let me tell you the beauty of community. Each of us in here are excelling in different places in each of our spirit, souls, and bodies. And each of us in here, when we give our strength of where we excel, help the rest of us who are struggling in these different areas to come up. So this is why I believe one of the biggest things that have hurt our society has been the pandemic, because it's created within us behaviors that keep us anti from connecting with other people outside of our safe bubble. But what happens is, when I'm afraid to connect with someone else, I could be afraid to get the wisdom necessary to come up higher than what I've been living before. So what you all are going to be seeing from us in the coming days is intentional opportunities to reconnect with the gifts that are in the body of Christ. Because if not, we will be deficient. If not, we will be lacking. And sometimes God connects you with someone who rubs you the wrong way to help grow areas you've been praying to develop in. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Some of these agitations in your life were not sent by the devil, but they were sent by God, because you prayed, Lord, help me grow in this area. Some of the hard times that you have financially were because you prayed for the Lord to take you higher financially, and the hard times had to show you, you can't depend on your way of managing to go where he's taking you. So the bad areas in our life, we often blame on the devil, but really they could have been permitted by God to activate a gift and grace that we've allowed to remain dormant because we've chosen convenience over the call of Christ. So when we talk about wholeness in every aspect, spirit, soul, body, I want us to understand that wholeness, spirit, soul, body, to be complete, entire, healthy, unhurt, fully recovered from wound or injury, wholeness is a gift from the God of peace. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I feel led to put a finger in 1 Thessalonians 5. Go to Romans 5. I feel led to show you all something. So wholeness is a gift from the God of peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. So wholeness is a gift. Someone say and type in, wholeness is a gift. Wholeness is a gift. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace, eirene, with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So if wholeness is a gift, then it comes from peace, which is a gift. And it says that we receive this wholeness or this peace based off what we do, based off of us keeping the Ten Commandments, based off of us having perfect church attendance, based off of us doing all the things we know to do right every day, we can then have the peace that only comes from God. That's what it says, correct? It's not what it says. So the word says that we have this peace based off of what who has done? Jesus, I'm building a foundation today based off of what Jesus has done. And so peace, this Greek word eirene that we see, is a gift from God of spiritual prosperity in the wildest sense. Immense prosperity spiritually. But what good is to have prosperity spiritually that you don't experience naturally in your life? Are anybody else satisfied with not experiencing what you have internally? I know I'm not. If someone said something belongs to me, and I'm just happy with it belonging to me, but I never see it, I never hold it, I never experience it, that's not good enough, especially if it costs somebody their life, that in Jesus Christ. So each person to accept Christ and what he's done has a gift in their spirit of immense spiritual prosperity. That means if you've accepted Christ, you right now have a gift of immense spiritual prosperity. Anyone know who the Bible attributes as the wisest man in all the world? Solomon. Solomon. Solomon was also the wealthiest man in all the world. Okay, all right, that's one. Let's come New Testament here. Let's talk about Jesus real quick. When he was a young child, wise men from all over gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As he was older and he began developing his team, he took care of not only the disciples, but also their families, which means, listen, I got a short payroll, and God bless him. This man had families that he took care of. So Jesus wasn't poor. All of this is connected to this internal spiritual prosperity. So what if your level of success naturally is connected to your inability to not withdraw what you have spiritually because of a wrong way of thinking? Your current status of life is connected to your way of thinking. So that's why we spend time in this Bible. I'm getting ahead of myself, but to change how we think. Because if I have a... The biggest enemy to Christianity is not atheism. It's a poor theology. Because I can keep you bound by something that's not even in Bible. So I'm trying to set you all up because when I studied what I'm about to share with you, as the pastor, it kind of had me take a step back and say, my whole Christian life is all a lie. I began to see that the way I viewed Scripture was tainted by religion and not a relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, so let's go back. So we see this peace comes from Jesus Christ. So this peace also means a total well-being, prosperity, and security associated with God's presence bound through covenant. So God has made a covenant with you that he is with you, that he is for you, and that it's unconditional based off of but if someone lies and says that you can lose the presence of God through your actions and you begin to judge yourself according to your behavior, you will not believe for something that's already within, therefore not walking in wholeness. And so wholeness is unity of the entire person. When you think whole, I want you to think unity, spirit, soul, body, bringing every area of your life into alignment with God's intended plan. For those of us in here and under the sound of my voice that have already separated out areas that you said, God, you can handle, and God, I'm going to handle these other areas, those other areas that you did not place in his hand are going to drown the other ones that you said you gave to God's plan, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so rebellion in one area speaks to a rebellion in all areas of your life. So the goal in wholeness is complete surrender, and not only your spirit, But in your soul, in your mind, your will, and your emotions, and also a surrender in your physical body. What are we subjecting our bodies to? Whether that's nutrition, whether that's fitness, whether that's immoral activities, what are we taking into our own hands and not allowing to be in God's hands so that we can experience wholeness in our entire life? Christ, his mission, and part of his mission, was to combat traditional Jewish wisdom that said the cursed causeless doesn't come, which means that if something is wrong with you, it means you did something to deserve something to be wrong with you. And so prior to the new covenant, there was this mindset that if a person had a sickness, if a person had a disease, if a person was born with a defect, then either that person or that person's family did something to allow that to be in their life. Therefore, community, and therefore in their own mind because of culture, they said there was no way I was supposed to live any higher than where I was born into. And so what Christ came to do is say, you may have been born into a certain lifestyle and things may have happened that have been out of your control, but when you meet me, I am able by your faith to make you whole. Women with the issue of blood, I have it in your Bible notes, the references that you can find her in the Gospels. The woman with the issue of blood, he not only gave her healing, but he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Which means that God's desire for us is not only to heal the aspect that's hurting, but he wants us to walk in his plan in every area of our life, including recovery of anything that you lost as a result of the pain and suffering. That is his plan. The man with leprosy, he told that man who came back to him, your faith has made you whole. Luke 17, 11 through 19. There was a blind man who had been going around unable to see and needing help. He said, the blind man, his faith has made you whole. Someone say and type in, faith has made you whole. Someone say and type in, faith has made me whole.
Faith has made me whole.
All right, so I set you all up. I'm going somewhere today. I just said wholeness is the unity of the entire person. I want you all to go back to 1 Thessalonians. We want to go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. Because now I want to break down each and every facet of this verse in our time together. I want you all to notice something here. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. I want us to look at God of peace make you holy in every way. And the reason why I need to start here, many of you who have been around for a while understand my love for coffee. I don't know if you all know how deep this love for coffee is, but just to give you an idea, for my 35th birthday at the top of this year, my mother got me a smart coffee maker that is controlled by all of my devices in the home, and it can make coffee at any time that I ask it to, even if I'm not next to the coffee maker, so that when I get to the coffee maker, my coffee is ready to go and we're able to function. Because it's not that I need coffee, but the people around me need me to have coffee. Amen. But not too long ago, I realized I had been using this coffee maker a lot, and I had not done a thorough cleaning on the inside of the coffee maker. And so I purchased a cleaning kit for it, and I went ahead and did the cleaning. And after I did the cleaning, it completely shut off, which is why you shouldn't clean in the house. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But I was devastated. My dearest appliance friend in the house is no longer with us. And I went to YouTube University because I was unwilling, because of the expense of the coffee maker, and currently the cost of these diapers, I had to make certain decisions, and I was unwilling to buy a new coffee maker. And so what YouTube told me that I had to do was that I had to do a reset on the temperature valve inside of the coffee maker. But in order to get to the valve that will allow it to turn back on, I had to completely break the coffee maker down, get to the valve, press the small button that you need a safety pin to press, put the entire coffee maker back together in order to hopes to get it back working. Well, I got to work because I needed that coffee maker, y'all. And I began to break down the coffee maker and got right to that valve. And I pressed the safety pin, the reset valve, put it back together, plugged it up. And to God be the glory, we had coffee ever since. I want to do the same with your spiritual definition of the word holy. In an effort to clean up your life, you get overwhelmed, so you shut down and quit and give up and don't even try it anymore because you feel like, why bother? But I need to do a reset on who and what you heard about holiness so you have an accurate definition according to the context of Scripture of what holiness is and not what a low self-esteem person across the pulpit beat over the heads of individual and said holiness was. Because holiness is right, and I believe holiness is still right. I believe without holiness no man shall see the Lord. But we need to know what holiness means. Because if I leave it up to your own interpretation, you would believe that holiness meant flawless lifestyle living. And honestly, you were taught that if you are not perfect, the rapture gonna show up and you gonna be here and the Antichrist is gonna have his way with you. And so you live scared of the word instead of living embracing what God has done in you. So we got to talk about what is holiness. When I say the word holiness, who got a little nervous? Like ooh, you had some experiences from church. So let's talk about what holiness is. So it says, I want you to see it connected because the Bible is going to interpret this. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and connecting, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. There is a connection between holiness and wholeness. So another word for holy is whole, W-H-O-L-E. They are interchangeable. Let's do something really quick. Earlier, I mentioned some instances in the gospel where I had you all repeat that your faith has made you what? So if the substitution property stands and the word whole and holy are interchangeable, then your faith has also made you holy. Oh, not your actions. Huh. That changes things. I got a little time with y'all. I got time. All right. See how much I can drop. So your faith is what makes you holy, not your actions. And there's a reason for that. Because if my actions make me holy, I can boast in my actions that made me holy. But if my lack of action makes me unholy, then I'll be in condemnation of my lifestyle that I believe has contributed to the results of unholiness. So when we see make you holy in every way, the New King James actually specifically says sanctify you completely. So it speaks to holiness, not solely the word holy. Let me explain what I mean by that. Sanctification is after the word justification. Oh, I gotta break this down. Lord have mercy. All right. Justification is what gets you into heaven. Not sanctification. Justification gets you into heaven. Sanctification allows you to experience heaven on earth. Justification, or being made right with God, is done by faith. We saw that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. When I'm made right with God, in that moment, spiritually, I became whole of no action of myself. Are y'all following? I hope so. Hope so. I'm dropping some real stuff on y'all this morning. I act in line with the person I believe I am. Let me break this down in a natural sense. If you are on a mission to lose a certain amount of weight, you don't wait until you lose the weight to act the way you want to look. You act like you are that weight before you're that weight. And eventually, what you see and act like, you'll actually experience in your life. Same thing spiritually. If you have a wrong identity of who Christ has made you according to his righteousness and what Christ has done, you will not align your actions to act like what God already did. So when you were born again, God made you holy, without spot, without blemish, not because of your actions, but because of Christ's actions. That's why it's not in my righteousness, which is as filthy rags, 1 Peter chapter 2, but it's in Christ alone that I have right standing and I have the privilege and right to go to God because of what Jesus did, not because of what I've done. When I believe by faith, because your faith makes you whole and holy, I believe that I'm holy, therefore in my spirit, soul, and body, I start acting in line with the belief of what I've already have. And over a period of time, my life will transform until I begin to look like the picture I have spiritually. So if I don't believe that he made me holy, if I don't believe that he's made me whole, then I won't act in accordance to it, and if I don't act in accordance to it, I won't see it. So could your barriers of stagnation be because you have failed to see who God has made you already in your spirit? Within you right now is the answer to the stagnation problems in your life. But you have to adjust your mind to begin to experience what's already within. And get this, if it wasn't your action that received it, then it won't be a lack of action that causes you to lose it. So I want to talk to somebody right now who feels like you are the worst sinner of them all, and you know you've been wilding. You know you have been out of control. You know that, listen, you know, we talking. We got it. You know, I'm talking to you right now. Listen. None of your actions change the inheritance you have within. But all of your actions are stopping you from experiencing the inheritance within. So this series is about taking what's within you so you can see it on the outside of you and you can realize that what's in you is better than what you've been dealing with around you. and that God is not the one stopping you, but your way of thinking is stopping you. So this is how we improve the quality of our life and the quantity of our life. It's saying in every facet of my life, God, have your way. Let me see if I want to say anything else. A little bit more. Oh, y'all butts can't take it in these hard seats. Y'all like, Lord, he gotta. All right. Darn it. This is. I'm trying to land this plane. It's way too much. I need to land this plane, y'all. Can we play a game real quick? Let's play a game. Let's have an exercise with scripture here. So the question I want to ask is, how does God make us holy? And how do we experience holiness? That's the question that I want to ask. Go to John 17:17. John 17:17. It says, make them holy by your truth. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is the truth. Real simple. God makes us holy by aligning our life to the word of God. Romans 15:15-16. It says, even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder, for by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So in church growing up, I heard Leviticus 11:44. Where Leviticus 11:44, and this is where people come in the text on holiness. They say, for I am the Lord your God. You must consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. It's a lot of work involved with that. And you have to understand the purpose of the old covenant. The reason why the old covenant is in place and was in place is because the children of Israel believed they did not need God at any point of their life. They felt like they could do life on their own, by themselves, and he had to show them a rubric. If you want to call yourself perfect, if you want to call yourself holy, I need to detail for you the standard of holiness that only one person, that of Jesus Christ, could uphold. And so what you see in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant is the human attempt to live up to God's perfect standard and falling short every time. Anybody have any New Year's resolutions in 2022? Anybody have them thrown out the window by now? Hello, somebody. Some of us don't. Some of us are really disciplined. God bless you. But the rest of us, 2023, God bless you in the name of Jesus. It's what happens when we try in our own strength to live up to our own commitments, you keep falling short. And so you said, I'd never do this. I'll never find myself in this situation. I'll never do that. And you keep finding yourself in that situation. You keep finding yourself doing the things that you say you weren't going to do. That was the Old Testament of striving toward God. But then we go to the New Testament because this peace that is given to us is a result of covenant. So in the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, is the update to Leviticus 11:44. And another word for update is the fulfillment of Leviticus 11:44. So the beginning of Leviticus 11:44 says, you must consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. 1 John 4:17 in the New King James Version says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, he's what? He's what? Who is he? It starts with an H. I've been talking about it for the last 20 minutes. He's the Lord. We're going to redo this. All right. Leviticus 11:44 was fulfilled in 1 John 4:17. And in 1 John 4:17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, and he is what?
Holy.
He is what?
Holy.
He is what?
Holy.
He is what?
Holy.
So are we in this world. So I want you all to say the biggest statement that, I mean, all of your religious teaching is about to scream when I have you say this. But on a count of three, I want everyone to say and type in, I am holy. One, two, three. All right, I felt y'all shaking like y'all were looking for a lightning bolt, because you were thinking like, oh no, only God is what? Is holy. But according to the new covenant, as he is, so are. Whose judgment is better, yours or God's? So he has judged you, seeing all of your flaws, seeing all of your mistakes, seeing all of your shortcomings, seeing all of your empty promises, both now and all of them in the future, and has made a judgment about you and said, but you are holy. Because as he is, so are you. Where? Where? Right now. So if this was a revelation to you, if this was mind-blowing to you, then it describes why your spiritual life wasn't as vibrant as it could be. Because you had a wrong way of religious teaching. So if you're holy because of what Jesus has done, when you pray in his name, according to his word, in his will, what will be denied? So if it's not denied, then it might be delayed. And while you're waiting, you just need to grow in patience. Stand up, y'all. I'm done.